Right, we are on Mark chapter 6, and we're looking at the section from verse 30 to 44, which is, it's labelled in my Bible, Feeding of the 5,000. I want to actually just add a little bit onto it, a little bit at the end of Ian's the talk. So I want to really take it from verse 30, but to link it in to the section earlier in this chapter, which is the section that's from verse 7 through to verse 13, just to tie it in. That's the section that we've already had a look at, which is for the point the story about the reference to Jesus sending the 12 disciples, or the 12 apostles, out to do work. And at the end of that, so I just want to for the sake of tying it in, just pick up on that, the end of that section. So just looking at Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. And they went out and preached, that's the disciples, went out and preached that men should repent. And they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. And then the chapter goes on to recall the fate of John, which we heard about, where he lost his head. And so going on to down to verse 30 of that chapter. And the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went away in the boat to a lonely place by themselves. And the people saw them coming, and many recognized them, and they ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a multitude, and he felt compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it was already quite late, his disciples came up to him and began saying, "The place is desolate, and it is already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." And he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he commanded them all to recline by groups on the green grass. And they reclined in companies of hundreds and of 50s. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves. And he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces, and also of the fish. And there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. The reason I wanted just to get that connection with the story about the Lord sending out the 12 disciples, or the 12 apostles, to do work, to prepare them for their ministry, because he was preparing those 12 particularly to become apostles and to be able to teach and to be given the power of healing. And they went out and they did that. And this section really sort of starts by them, I imagine, excitedly recounting their experiences of the service that they had conducted on behalf of the Lord. and saying about how he'd managed to cast out demons, how they'd managed to heal the sick. And they were active in their service. And this section really, for me, starts with the Lord saying to them, you know, come away. I want you to come and rest. Because he's saying something, I think, that is of primary importance before we get into the story of the feeding of 5,000, which is the, if you like, the big thing that everybody remembers, the thing that we remember from our Sunday schools, the marvellous miracle of feeding 5,000, in fact, 5,000 men. So it might well have been three times that size with children and women encountered as well. So, but in reading this and just looking at it and thinking, what was Jesus really concerned with? And what do we get out of this other than the Lord is all powerful and the Lord can do great things, which of course is true. But he starts off here saying, I want you to come apart. You've been out there in service. You've been out there working. And I want to give you rest. Or if you read it in different versions, my version in the NESB says, rest a while. Another version might say, rest by yourselves. Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while. And it seems to give the picture of physical rest, which is the natural thing to take out of it. Most of you know that there's different expressions or understandings of rest in the Bible. There's a rest that you need physically when you've been you're just tired. Your body needs rest. And that could well be the case here, that the Lord is saying to them, you've been physically out there doing things and working hard. And he had already told them that they weren't to take any food with them and such like. So there might have been even a concern about getting fed and where they're going to sleep that night, etc. And they were busy and there would have been crowds coming round them, exactly the same that the Lord Jesus was dealing with all the time, as there was crowds of people who were in need. They were either physically in need or they were spiritually in need because of the demons within them that had to be cast out. They were tired. So he says, let's come with me. Of course, what we pick out on it, of course, is it's the fact of going with Jesus. There's more than just the physicality of it. He could have just said, look, let's go and find a bed and have a sleep. There was a sense, you get in the boat and come with me. And I want to go to a lonely place, it says in some versions, or a quiet place. So the Lord wanted to come apart with his disciples to give them rest. And I'm really indicating it was a lot more than just physical rest. And the fact, of course, in this story is very evident. They didn't get physical rest. And so that wasn't a priority because, as I say, if the Lord was really concerned about their physical rest, then he would have made that happen. But he identified they needed rest. He identified, there might have been a physical aspect to it, as I said, but there was also, it was a case of come with me. And come with me to a place that's quiet. That was what the Lord saw was the need of the disciples. And of course, that is exactly what we need to pick out from this, that in our service, how whatever it might be, in our lives, we not just need physical rest. We don't just need to get some sleep regularly and get a holiday occasionally and need for physical rest. There is a great need, and the Lord knew it, for us to come apart, to come with him, and to come to a quiet place. I don't know how you do your reading and your meditation and your study, but if you've got your Bible open and the telly's on, or if you've got visitors in, or there's a noise going on, you know, you're probably wasting your time. We know that from experience, don't we? That in order to listen to God speak, to listen to the Lord, we need to be in a quiet place. We need to be somewhere where we can just commune. And the Lord saw that. And so he's saying to his disciples, come with me. It made me think about Matthew 11, you know, come unto me, all you that, ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, two types of rest, really, I think we need to be thinking about. There's a rest that you get from receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. The rest and the assurance of your salvation. The rest which is Christ, that we belong to, and we can rest in him. There's also the rest that I think is involved here, is like, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And he's saying, look at me, I'm gentle, I'm humble, and you will find rest for your soul. That's a rest that's for the disciple. And that's what I think is here. The disciples were needing rest. What did they need? Although it starts out to me as if they needed physical rest, and I'm not discounting that entirely, I think the main thrust of it was, you need quiet time with me. You need me to be with you, and for us to really get to know each other. Maybe that's a bit, the Lord knew them. It was really them that needed to know him and to understand him. And so he sets out to go to this place, and the story is, of course, that the crowds who were in great need are so desperate to get their needs dealt with, their physical, their spiritual needs, their need to hear teaching, and they rush round the long way, round the coast, whilst the Lord and his disciples in the boat are going across, but possibly they ran, and maybe there wasn't such a strong wind and their boat wasn't going quite quick enough, but they got there before the Lord. And the Lord sees them, and he arrives on the beach. And you think, what would be your reaction you would expect from the Lord? Is that he'd said to them, the disciples, we want to go somewhere quiet and rest with me. And he gets to the shore, and there's a multitude waiting for him. The Lord could have said, of course, we're on holiday. Or, sorry, I need a quiet time with my disciples. Can you just go away? Why didn't he? Because he'd asked the disciples to come with him for rest. And it says of the Lord that he had compassion. That's a picture of our God. He's a compassionate God. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is here being obedient in totality to his God and his Father. And so he's compassionate, and he sees the people like sheep who are without a shepherd. And he has compassion on them. And so he doesn't say to them, get lost, or go away, or even how politely, you know, we're on holiday. He just starts to teach them. I wonder what that effect he had on his disciples when they saw that. I wonder if they said, look, we were looking forward to a bit of a quiet time. He was surely teaching them about compassion. He had compassion for them as sheep that didn't have a shepherd. I don't know if you've ever had any experience with sheep that didn't have a shepherd. out in a field somewhere. In this country, we tend to have fields, and they're compressed in these fields, and they're looked after quite a lot easier. But if you're in a wild area where there are no walls or fences or whatever, it's very important, of course, that there's a shepherd. Otherwise, they would just go off. I always remember in my youth working on the farm and always thinking that sheep were such stupid creatures, you know, that if they could fall in a hole or they could get through a tiny gap in the fence, they'd find it and they would get lost, and you'd spend a lot of time just trying to find them. When you think, why didn't you just stick with the others? It would have been so easy, much easier. But that's just the sheep. And the Lord saw, that's what we're like. That's what humanity is like. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Everybody wants to go their own way. And if they've no shepherd, they end up the scattered. And in Israel at that time, there was no shepherd. The leaders, like Herod, of course, he was that busy just looking after himself. And the leaders, the synagogue leaders and the temple leaders, they were only after looking after themselves too, with money and such like. They weren't interested in the people. And so when somebody like the Lord came and showed compassion and showed concern for them and sent out his disciples to do that, were drawn to them. And he saw the need in them, and his heart went out to them. And it was such a picture, I think, to showing the disciples, this is how you should respond and put your own needs aside. When the Lord said to them after he was teaching them and it was getting late, the obvious thing was, as the disciples picked up on, you need food. It's getting late. The shops are going to close soon. Or whatever, however they did, they have to go to the villages and they have to buy food. And the only way you do that would be in daylight, because presumably once it got dark, these places would shut. So you have to go quickly and do it now whilst it's still daylight. But the Lord's response to them, I think, was very marked, was that you give them food. I don't think he was being flippant. I'm sure he wasn't. It was all designed to cause them to respond in the way they did, to cause them to think about it. You give them food. Again, the teaching for us as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ is, it's our responsibility to feed the sheep. And it was the responsibility of the disciples to feed the sheep. And the Lord was preparing them for that. That's why he said, you feed them. Of course, they immediately, naturally saw, how on earth are we going to do that? And if you look at the calculations about what they were saying, was effectively what I read on assessment of this section, was that this denarii that they said they would need was something like 9 months' wages. It would have cost them 9 months' wages to have bought enough food to have fed that amount of people. Yeah, in other words, it just wasn't possible. The picture you then get is that Jesus says to them, go out and find what you've got. Find out, first of all, what you have. And they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That, I suppose, is not that significant, in as much that the Lord was just saying, start off and use and have a positive attitude to feeding, even although it sounds ridiculous. Because what you're talking about here is spiritual food. And the Lord then did something in this miracle which was not like a big magic trick. Because if it was anybody else, one of us, we'd have thought, well, snap your fingers and food would appear. or do something absolutely amazing that everybody would gasp and clap and all the rest of it, and it would have been taken out of context, it would have been misunderstood. But what you get is a picture of the Lord taking what they had, which was minimal, and then just giving and giving and giving. And it's the disciples that fed the people, but it came from the hand of the Lord. So the teaching there is for us, is that we might think we haven't got very much. I mean, my ability is only 5 loaves and 2 fishes worth. What's the point? The point, I think, that the Lord Jesus made is that it's me that's going to give you what you need to feed them. And that's a lovely picture that we see in this, the feeding of 5,000 or 15,000, it doesn't matter. It could be 15 million. And we have a responsibility that the Lord is giving us to go into all the world and make disciples. And how are we going to do that? And we think it's only me. And we think that there are some amongst us that are better at it than others. But we all support one another. And it's a case of, what do you have? Well, we're a little church, or we're a little fellowship. We churches of God have only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, what's that to the world? And the Lord is saying, I am the one that supplies. It made me think about Exodus chapter 33. If you remember the time when Moses was speaking to the Lord, and he was getting an insight into the mind of God when it was coming in this difficult time at Mount Sinai, when the people were rebelling, and when he was receiving the Ten Commandments and all of this, that the Lord, or Moses, asked for the presence of the Lord to always be with him. And that the Lord answered, my presence will go with you. And he said, and I will give you rest. And you think, that what rest was that? That wasn't physical rest, of course, but it's the picture of the presence of God that was important. The picture in this story was the presence of Christ and the giving from the hand of a compassionate Lord who was going to the cross. And of course, if we can't see it in the giving of himself in totality in the cross and bearing our sin, you can see it here in a little bit of a shadow and a little bit, I give, I give, I give. And the number's not important, whether it was 5,000 men or whether it was men and women and children and multiplied, it doesn't matter. But the fact that the number is mentioned makes it significant. There's a lot of people, and they were all in need, and they were all hungry, and they were all longing for Christ. And how did he supply that need? How did he manage to give them what they wanted? So another thing I just picked out on this section that I hadn't really picked out before was that the Lord got them all into groups of 100 and groups of 50. And they were all sitting on green grass. Sometimes, you know, you read things in scripture and you just skim over it. You know, they sat down in some grass, but it's mentioned as green grass. And one of the commentaries that I read said that, well, that's significant because if you know Galilee and you know that part of the world, there's only green grass in the spring, because that's when the rains come, the end of winter, beginning of spring. Because after that, it gets so hot, the grass just burns, and there isn't any. And again, it's a picture of newness, a picture of a new beginning, picture of a new covenant, a picture of a new day. because the Lord was there and he was getting them to sit down in the newness, to enjoy what the Lord can supply, not physically, but in all he could give, which was going to culminate with his giving at Calvary and his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. And this was new. And the breaking up in the groups, well, my imagination really ran riot on that one, and I started to think, well, that's like Churches of God, isn't it? We're all in groups. Is that not possible? Is that not how the Lord saw it, with a sensible way of feeding, was that they could be done in groups? And that was how he taught the disciples. And the disciples went out, and they would presumably, the 12 of them would be given, would have certain groups that belonged to them, and it was their responsibility to teach. That's something maybe for overseers, but it's maybe also for all of us, that we look at our own little group we are responsible for. Of course, the Lord looks at the bigger picture. The 5,000 were fed, but they were fed by the disciples in groups. And then lastly, just the thought I was that he prayed. I don't know whether you are people who pray before you eat. I was always brought up, you had to do that, you know. The food would stick in your throat if you didn't give thanks for it. It was almost the way I was brought up. You know, if you saw somebody getting stuck into their food, not eating, you thought, when I was a kid, you would startle, what, my goodness, he's going to fall off his seat. I think it's interesting here that the way that the reactions of the Lord, and of course, we've got to learn from him, because what we do now, we do surely as followers of the Lord Jesus. And here he is giving in a miraculous way, but he thanks his Father. He blesses it. He gives thanks for it. And I think there was the blessing and the breaking and the giving is something, you know, that it's easy for us in the Western society, you know, when you sit down in your food and you think, are you going to give thanks for that? When you think, I got it at Tesco's, you know, it was it's all pre-packed and I'm just going to just heat it up. And it's not quite the same thing as if you had maybe gone out and fished and pulled it out of the water, or you had actually had to prepare it all from scratch. Maybe that's the difference, that we're not so grateful and not so thankful these days. But I just found, in looking at that and thinking of the Lord, did he need to do that? And he's teaching the need to bless the hand of God. And we should be looking at all of our in our lives, our clothes, our lives, our money, our food. All of these things are from the hand of God, and gratitude is necessary, and understanding that we need him. He is the supplier of all things. So just a few thoughts really from the feeding of the 5,000, and the compassion of the Lord, the love of the Lord. And what happens next is that they then go out again in their boat, and they don't seem to get that physical rest that he asked of them or wanted to give them. But when you look at what happened, maybe he did. And it was, he showed them in a unique way that the rest that he was wanting to give them, he did to them, because they were with him and they saw his compassion, they saw his love, they saw the care. And that was something that was so real to them, that was a rest, because like I said about Moses, If my presence goes with you, you will find rest. And so these disciples, they were in the presence of Christ, supplying the needs for the people. Did they not find rest anyway? Did they not find rest with being with him, even although they were physically distributing food or caring, getting the people into groups? Anyway, I leave these thoughts with you. Shall we pray?